be. Can everybody hear me? All right, Matt. Okay, great. Yeah, what I do is I'll narrate this slideshow for you. Dan, would you mind helping me out? If you could just sit over here by the computer, because sometimes my wife is watching the kids and they act up and it's hard to do both. And so my friend, if you'd like to sit here, there's two things I'd like you to do. One, just make sure this doesn't come out, because then we'll lose our picture. Another is advance the slides when I say next. You can do that by using this arrow here. All right. Yeah, it can't screw in there because of the computer side there. But, you know, up arrow, this goes forward. And if it jumps too fast, then you can use the other arrow to go back. I sure appreciate it, man. Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can get this. Okay. All right. And if it's possible to turn off the lights, then you'll be able to see it real well here. Okay, I'll just go ahead and start. Just introduced our family to you, but here's a picture of us in some other Chinese attire. Amen. As I said, my name's Conan. My wife's name is Becky. Our last name is pronounced Petreri. It's Italian. I don't look it, but it is. And our children, from left to right, Matthew, Faith, Hope, and Mark. Okay, next. Great. Our home church is Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego. I don't know if you ever heard of Doug Fisher. He travels and speaks a lot. That's our pastor. Next. And this is where we're missionaries to, outlined in red there. The People's Republic of China. It's a communist country. Next. And it's about the same size and shape as the United States, but the United States is bigger. We're bigger than they are just because we've got Alaska, okay? Other than that, it's kind of the same length and height and so on. Next. But they have a lot more people. We have 300 million people here in America, and they've got 1,300,000,000. That's like saying 1,300 millions compared to 300 millions in the United States. Next. And we arrived there in August 2005, just over 4 years ago. So we've been there for 4 years and came back just a few months ago. We're up in northeast China. It's cold up there. Next. Now, we're there to win folks to Christ, but it's a little challenging, obviously, because it's a communist country and they're very militant there. Okay. Next. For example, when we checked into the country to get our visas, you have to get visas to go there, and then when you're there, you have to get them again to stay there, okay? So it's a way that they make extra money, I guess, to get them two times, I don't know. But we have to check in through this immigration office that's run by what's called the Public Security Bureau. And I've been told not to compare them to the Gestapo because that's not nice, but that's basically their job. To watch foreigners and make sure we're not spying or spreading religion or things like that. So their job is to watch us. Next. I should mention they're the only police in China authorized to carry guns, and they do. Now, I started teaching at this school there, and we also see this in the school. And this is the oldest class in the school I'm at. It starts at age 18 months. And next. And what they're teaching them here. Next is close order drill. They start teaching them at age 2, okay? Chinese children start going to school as soon as they're potty trained or 18 months, whichever is later. And at any rate, about age 2, they start learning mathematics, reading and writing Chinese, military drill, and English. And I know because I was there in the school with them and watched it, and I was their English teacher. So militant attitude in them starts this early. Next. Also, when you go outside, you'll see policemen, security guards, and soldiers walking around everywhere. And, you know, this is something you'd expect if you're like in a military town here in the States, but it's not even necessarily a military town. They just, you know, they have a higher proportion of security forces in the population, and they also have a low crime rate. Now, the problem is with that is they view us and what we're doing as illegal. So it has good things and bad things about it. Next. Okay, then, you know, in our country we have American flags, you know, and God Bless America and eagles and pictures of George Washington and Lincoln. And there they have things like this. This is a community center where we went to sing, and they've got the hammer and sickle up there. If you go in most Chinese schools or businesses, they'll have pictures up on the wall, framed pictures of Karl Marx, Lenin, and Mao Zedong, the founder of the Chinese Communist Party. So you can feel the atmosphere there. It's very militant and patriotic in the things of communism. Next. Now, the first school I went to was that children's school, but we couldn't teach there because it was a Christian school. And we couldn't witness to people at the Christian school because the purpose of it was to allow missionaries to come, but they wanted you to leave the school when after a year or two and witness elsewhere so you didn't get the school in trouble and close the door, as it were, to other missionaries. Next. So this is a new school. You can see these students are older, college level. And the folks in the front, that's the teachers and school leaders. You can see me there on the right. Next. You have to be careful who you talk to. The gentleman standing next to me is a very kind and friendly fellow. And his name, English name is Robert. And I was praying about witnessing to him because I had a real good rapport with him. And then the Lord allowed me to find out that he's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Chinese Army in the intelligence department and a member of the Communist Party. So that's just an example of how you have to be careful. Next. This is a picture of a door to a bomb shelter under a hill on the school grounds that we're in. It's there because it was built on a former army base. So very militaristic society in all aspects. Next. The students in the schools march for all public events in formation. Next. And stand in ranks. I mean, this is just like those of you who've been in the military, Marine Corps, or Navy. It's just like that in their public schools, okay? But next. These people are my friends, okay? I'm their teacher. I know them by name. I mean, these are pictures that I took or had taken. And I care about these people. They're my friends. I want to win them to Christ. So that's what we're there for. And so we have to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom how we can do it. Next. Advantage that we have over there is that Chinese people are really friendly. In spite of the overall militant attitude collectively, individually, they're very friendly people. This is one of my students and her father. Next. Now, this is one picture in the presentation I didn't take. And actually, I wasn't born then either. Almost, but not quite. But this is President Nixon meeting Mao Zedong, the founder and leader of the Communist Party. Since he went there and extended a hand of friendship, Chinese have generally liked Americans. And maybe it's because the government encourages them to through propaganda because it's good for their economy, the economic relationship they have with our country. If you haven't noticed, everything's made in China. Next. Other examples, when we walk out in the park, there's a park near our house there, and couples go there on their wedding day to get pictures taken, and they will stop us and beg us to have pictures with our family for their wedding album, even though we're total strangers, just because we're Americans. Next. And we just go outside in a place where there's people. We're surrounded by people who want to talk to us and touch our daughter's hair because it's blonde, and that's so unusual for them. And what I'm telling you is this is something the Lord has set up and uses for us to be able to reach these people. I can't go out, pass out tracts, knock doors, and witness like here in the States. So we have to do it by making friends with them first. Next. Our kids make friends with their kids. Next. And the adults like our kids. Next. And those that make friends with us, they want to practice specifically American English. Okay, as opposed to British English, for example, they just like American things. That's good for us being American missionaries. Amen. Next. Or they want to come to our house and learn something about American culture, like making food. Next. And especially eating food. Man, that's a treat for them. Next. Now, some of them will actually say, hey, you have freedom in your country. Can you teach me, tell me something about the Bible? And so then I can witness to him. That's an open door. This fellow's name is Frank. He's just graduated with a master's degree in forestry. I've witnessed to him a few times, but he feels there's a conflict between science and the Bible. But just pray for Frank to get saved. Next. So in spite of their militancy, the Lord has allowed us to take of these here, next, win many of them to Christ. They're here in our home to have church. Okay? All the students you see here were standing in that formation in the other slides. Next. This is the first girl we won to Christ in the first school that I taught at. And I thought we could have her come to our home to learn English as an excuse, you know, for her to be there and then teach her the Bible. But I found that they don't want foreigners teaching anything in their home at all, okay, because they want to control anything taught by foreigners. So instead, I prayed about the Lord gave us another idea. Next, invite her to our home to teach us Chinese. And that's okay. So they see her go to our home every day. Oh, she's the foreigner's Chinese teacher. That's all, you know. But we teach her the Bible while she's there, because that's why I really hired her for that in the first place. So she was the beginning of our ministry in China. And Jin Wan Wo Xiang Gao Su Ni Men Wo Jen Hui Shuo Dong Men Ru Guo Wo Xiang Gei Yi Ge Ren Chuan Fu Yin Wo Yin Gai Dui Tao Men Shuo Zai Shang Jing Li Yuhan Fu Yin San Zhang Shi Liu Jie Shuo Shan Ai Shi Ren Shan Zhi Jiang Ta De Du Shang Zi Zi Gei Tao Men Jiao Yi Jie Xin Ta De Bu Zhe Mie Wang Fan De Yong Shang. So I just said, because I've been able to learn Chinese, I can quote to you, I just quoted to you John 3:16. The Lord's allowed me to, in the few years we've been there, to be able to learn basic Chinese. My kids can speak, you know, basic everyday Chinese. And we still have a lot to learn, but I've learned, you know, the soul winning, the Romans Road and so on, John 3:16, and also how to discuss them in Chinese. So praise the Lord for that. Next. But some of them will not come to you and say, you know, can I learn the Bible? Just like here, you know, not often do people come to you and say, what must I do to be saved, right? So, next. Have to build a friendship with them somehow. So I'm playing soccer with them here, next. Or invite them to our home to hang out. David and Goliath, amen. Next. Now, when I feel we have a good enough relationship with them, one way that I introduced the Bible to them is I'll give them an American dollar as a gift and say, this is a special souvenir from our country for you because we're good friends. Next. But I use it like a tract. So you see on here it says, in God we trust. Next. And I tell them that if they want to really learn more about America and English, then they should learn the Bible because that's the foundation of our culture. And that's true, okay? But it's an excuse for me to teach in the Bible. So I say, if you want, I'll teach you. Don't worry about that. It's jumpy. Okay, I'll teach you the Bible. Just don't tell anybody. So here, these have come. Okay? Next. Other way. Okay, there we go. So when they get saved, then I set up a baptistry. Next. We have to be creative. So I put this wooden wall in the bathtub, okay? And I put shrink wrap in it, like you used to cover palleted goods, and then put towels on it to make it look nice. And there's our baptistry. And after we baptize, then we dismantle it and put the parts away, because the police can come into your home and look around if they want. We can't have that, you know, set up, being set up in there. Next. So we have to be patient. Chinese folks take especially long to make decisions and change because, you know, that's their personality. They're very traditional. They don't like change. But the Lord tells us in Galatians 6:9, next, let us not be weary in well-doing. Here I'm showing the scriptures about baptism. Next. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is our first Chinese teacher and her husband. And I won her to Christ, and I tried to win her husband. He ended up going to another underground church and getting saved after I witnessed to him. But I got to baptize both of them. Next. And here's two more of my students. Girl on the left was saved already. Her parents have an underground church in another village. And the girl on the right I led to Christ. Next. So they got to baptize them. Amen. Next. These two girls were students of mine too. I thought they'd never get saved. They were very closed-minded. But one day we were just having a good visit, and then I was able to tell them about the Lord, and they got saved. Next. Got to baptize them. Next. Here's two more friends. Next. This girl's already Christian, so I told her about baptism. She got baptized. Next. And this young man's name is John, and I won John to Christ and baptized him the last year in the summer. And now he's living in our apartment, taking care of it for us, and leading a Bible study twice a week to keep things going while we're gone. Next. And this is a girl who came to practice English with us. Next. I taught her it out of the Bible, and she got saved, amen, and baptized here. Next. But there's still some friends here. I'm teaching them the Bible. They're not saved yet, okay? So we're going back there to keep working with them. Next. And to keep working with people like John and others we've led to Christ who are now need to be discipled. Next. Most Chinese are very devout in their singing and praying. And preacher, you're talking about fasting. They're even very devout in fasting. You know, a lot of them will fast many, many days. But they just don't know much about the Bible. They view the Bible as a book of mystery. And we take it for granted, the freedom and the tools we have in America. Like, for example, they have no Bible dictionaries or concordances there. If we want to look up a word in the Bible, we can look in our concordance or, you know, Strong's or something. They don't have anything like that in Chinese, okay? At least most of the Christians, I haven't found it yet if they do have it. And the Christians that I've met, they don't know of any such thing. So they're very limited compared to how we are blessed with the freedom and the tools we have for the Bible. Next. So here's me graduating from the Institute. We have this opportunity in America to learn the Bible, and I believe it's our responsibility to take it to those who do not have this ability. Next. Here's an underground church that we visited in Christmas time, and the police came and shut them down in March because they were singing too loud or something. If they know what you're doing, they will come and shut you down, so you have to be careful. Next. Okay, so we just meet with a few people. I meet with groups two times unless I'm not working teaching English. Then we have four meetings a week and meet with friends that I'm discipling or just making friends with. At other times, just fill up my calendar so I can work with people. That's how you go soul winning in China. You make friends with people and wait for the time you can witness to them. Next. But there's a lot of people out there, so we're not content just to continue like this. We believe the Lord wants us to strive to do more. Amen. Next. But we can't go and found Lighthouse Baptist Church in China. Okay? So here's the idea. Next. Instead of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Lighthouse Translation Company. Now here's what I mean. According to the Bible, everything is based on the local church. Okay? And I believe that. But we just don't call it that. What we do in China as an excuse to have more people meeting together, because if I have 20 people come meet in my home twice a week, somebody's going to get suspicious. Okay? So what we do is we just found a little business, and that's our excuse to have as many people as we want there. Okay? Or the bigger the company, the more people. But this is a start. Okay? Next. Has been done before. A lot of missionaries in closed countries like those working in North Korea, China, and Vietnam, they will start small businesses. I know a guy who has bakeries and goat farms, and there's a few others that have translation companies. Some even have things like orphanages, but it works. Okay, so when we go back to China, this is what we want to do. It's just our idea, our vision for expanding the Lord's work there. Next. Because all these people we want to reach, but we can't reach them directly. Next. So we take the few people that we can, and we want to work with more, but we invest in them. These are some of the people who meet with us regularly, learning the Bible, and all of them are soul winners. All of them have tried to lead people to Christ. Some of them have been successful, but we're investing in them. They'll go out and do more than we can as foreigners with our white faces, okay? Next. So we're doing it on a small scale, but if we register a business, then we can do more. Next. Okay. And if we have a translation company, for example, it doesn't matter what kind of company, but we've carefully considered what kind. And if we do a translation company, most of our friends would fit that we're teaching the Bible to would fit because they're graduates of English school, so they could do that kind of work. Next. Okay, this is John, I told you, running the Bible studies, now staying in our house, and he's a former businessman. Before he paid his way through English school, he just graduated from that. And so he'll be an asset to guide us if we start a business there. Next. Now my job, besides teaching them the Bible, is to be the foreign investor for this. Next. The plan is when we go back to China, we have to move from our apartment. The lease runs out and they don't want to renew it. So we believe that's of the Lord. We're thinking what else we could do. We want to get two floors this time, one floor to be a business. Remember how in the old days here in the States, you'd have a store on the first floor and then live above it, or a barber shop or something like that? Well, that's what we want to do here, okay? Next. And the idea is that the business rents the apartment above to the foreigners, but they don't know it's really all ours and we have church together. Because you see, in China, the businesses traditionally will close after lunch for an employee or business meeting. Then when we're closed, well, we have church or Bible Institute during that time. Next. Here's our core group. And now we're telling you we can do this if you will pray for us. We have cards out. You can take a card to pray for our family. And also you can give to us financially as the Lord leads you, as your preacher mentioned before the service. We're also looking for regular monthly support. If you can give us, you know, $10 or $25 or whatever every month as the Lord leads you, that'll help. Every little bit helps. Next. Okay, the Bible says you have not before you because you ask not. So I just want to give you a little details, then we'll switch to preaching. Amen. Okay, we're trying to raise $1,000 more a month support. We've already got over half of it. Okay, this is $500. Talk to someone who's going to add $200, Lord willing. Next. So we're on the way. We need to raise $28,000 before we get back to China. Half of that is just to get back, okay? Plane tickets, visas, and you have to pay the first year rent on an apartment in advance, okay? The other half of it down there at the bottom is to get the business started. So that's what we want to raise going back to China. We have at least $7,000 of that right now, okay? Next. And this says 10. We have almost 10,000. So we're just trying to raise about 20,000 more. Next. Okay. Our plan is to go back to China in February. So we hope that you'll get a card and pray for us and give as the Lord leads you. And thanks, preacher, for having us in. And I hope you've enjoyed hearing about China. Okay. So we can shut this down. And lights. Okay, before we don't have much time watching the time, but before we go into the message, does anyone have any quick questions? Mandarin. Yeah. Yes, we do, but it's not exactly right, so we use the King James Bible as a guide wherever it's different. Anybody else? Well, the one church we told you about that was closed down, one of the girls who comes to our meeting was a member of that. So she wasn't personally affected other than her church was shut down by that. So we know some other missionaries who live across town. The police walked into their meeting and harassed them a little bit. But you just want to be careful. Yes, sir. Not exactly. Now, originally it was, but the government found that if they just totally outlawed Christianity, then it would just all be underground. So they have open government churches there, and they sell Bibles, and you just want to be careful showing what you do. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay, now, If you have any more questions, we'll be at our table afterwards. So let's go ahead and look in the Bible now. Amen. Okay, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13, first of all. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse 5. The Bible says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people that followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.'" Okay, now let's pray. God, thank you we get to meet together here in freedom without any fear of police or government in these days in this country. Thank you for that, Lord. Now I ask, God, that you please help me to understand and explain well some ideas here from your book, and just be a blessing to these people. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now what we have here is there a situation back in ancient Israel where the enemies of Israel had taken their army and come to attack. And the king is waiting for God's man, waiting for the prophet to come and offer a sacrifice to the Lord. You know, kill an animal, a sheep or an ox, and burn it as an offering, as a gift to God. Okay, now the king was not allowed to do that. The prophet was, okay, in this case. And the prophet Samuel had told him, "Wait for me. When I get there, I will do it." But the king did not wait. Okay? The king did not wait. The king did not do what he was... The king did what he was told not to do. Okay? Now, this occurs a few different times in the Bible. And this is one of the greatest examples. This is why Saul messed up. He was just told to wait. Okay? All right, now let's look at another example here. Turn to Genesis chapter 16. Okay, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Genesis 16:1. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, 'Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing.'" She said, "I can't have any children. 'I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her.' And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Okay? Now, the issue here is not about polygamy. In those days, okay, that was accepted. But that's not what I'm saying the problem is here. The problem is here that God had promised Abraham and Sarah they would have their own child between them. Okay? But they got worried because the time, things were taking longer than they thought they should. So what happened is Sarah took another woman and said, here, I'll use her to have children. And you know what the result of that was, okay? The result of that was thousands of years of war, okay? And it's still going on today, okay? Now, I'm not saying there's any problem with the Arab people existing, but the problem is how they came to exist in that context has made a conflict. So therefore, unto this day, the Israelis and the Arabs fight each other in war, okay? That's, you know, a big part of the problem that's going on in the Middle East is because Abraham and Sarah did not wait. Okay? And then the other one we just looked at was with Saul. Saul did not wait. Okay? Saul did not wait for the prophet to come. So as a result, this is the first thing that he did wrong as a king. Okay? The first thing he did wrong as a king was doing what God said don't do. Okay? Not waiting. All right, now, let's look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Here it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we won't turn there, but you may also remember Isaiah 40:31, okay, which says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Okay. Now the point of this is that sometimes God wants us to wait. And when he wants us to wait, that means he doesn't want us to do something. Okay? And now, if we're in a situation where we should wait, but we don't wait, this can cause problems. Okay? Classic example. Sometimes my family and I must go shopping together, okay? Especially since we're on the road. The reason I say must is just because, you know, usually the ladies like to go shopping, but the men just like to go in quickly and grab what they need and leave. Amen? Right? Okay, now, but sometimes it is necessary for us to go together depending on the situation or whatever. And now in that case, you know, my wife knows the things she wants and she wants to look for them carefully, which is good. But I don't like to wait and be there with her because she has many good ideas going on in her head, but I don't know what they are and I cannot participate that way. So now what I should do is have grace and be kind and be patient and wait. But usually I don't think of that. I just get very agitated. I can't endure standing there with my wife while she's looking at these things on the shelf. So I say, can you please give me something to do that I can help you so that I can do something and we can be done quicker? Amen. So she will say, okay, yeah, you can go over here and get, find this for me. So I go get it and bring it back and give it to her and stand there again. Okay. Now, this can cause problems, okay? This can make people feel a little unhappy with each other. If I was to just remember God's principles and do right, then I would just be patient and kind and whatever, and we wouldn't have the tension that results from me not wanting to wait. The Bible says waiting's a good thing, okay? And we just saw Saul get agitated and do the same thing and make the sacrifice himself. And then Abraham and Sarah get agitated and do the same thing and try to use another woman to have their child, okay? And these things caused a big problem. You know, it caused the man to lose his kingdom, caused there to be war in the Middle East for thousands of years, and causes us to have tensions in our marriages when we don't wait for each other, when we should just have grace and wait and be kind. Amen. And the message is not about waiting, okay? But this is a good point I'm making right now. The point is this, that sometimes in our life, we will have a problem, okay? And we will be under pressure to deal with this problem in a way that is not best because we're not patient. I mean, this isn't really about patience, but just let's think about this idea. The principles in the Bible show us that if there's something we're not supposed to do and we do it, then a lot of trouble results. Sometimes it's big trouble lasting thousands of years, and sometimes it's just being grouchy with other people, which is not always good. Amen? Turn over to Psalm 37. We're close to it. Now here we find God's idea about how we should deal with life. Psalm 37, read 1 through 7, okay? The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Don't worry about bad people who seem to be successful. But trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Bible gives us such simple ideas. Just do right and trust God, okay? Delight thyself also in the Lord. That means have fun doing things for God. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He'll take care of you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If you're suffering through your life waiting for something and you feel it's unjust, then just be patient and wait. The school I teach at in China owes me $900, and they say they don't want to give it to me. In my contract, it says if I teach for them for 1 year, they will pay my plane ticket to go back to the States. So when I bought the plane ticket, then they said, "No, you have to give us the boarding passes." So I sent them the boarding passes, and they said, "No, you have to wait till you come back to China." And as an American man, I feel this is unjust. And I feel a little irritated about that. But the Bible says, just wait and be patient and God will take care of it. Don't get bent out of shape. 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And in this context, we can add 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, for fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. When God wants us to not do something, then we should just not do something. Okay? Now, the other half of it is this. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15 this time. Chapter 15, verse 1. Saul again. He's a good, bad example. 15, verse 1. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Okay. Now go up to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. In verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And basically after this, what we had is a repeat of where Samuel came to Saul, and he said, you disobeyed God again. God gave you another chance, and you just blew it again. And of course, Saul, being the man that he is, just made excuses. And he said, but I saved these to be sacrifices for the Lord. Saul's first mistake was when he was supposed to do nothing, he did something. And on the other hand, when he was supposed to do something, he did not do it. He followed his own idea. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 48. We have about 1 minute till 8. I'll finish as quickly as I can, preacher. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Says here, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Basically what it just said there, it said, cursed be you if you don't kill people. Now that's kind of strange, but here's the point I want to make with it. The example that we saw in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, God does not want us to go kill people, okay? Now, but here's the point. God told Saul, go do something, and Saul didn't want to do it. And here's the point for us. Sometimes God will tell us to do something that we think is strange or uncomfortable, or that for some reason we do not want to do. But it doesn't matter what our opinion is about it. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that is a principle in the Bible that sometimes God wants us to do nothing, and we get agitated and think, oh, something's got to be done. Well, we're not supposed to. So if you're in that situation, you've got to stop. And me too. Okay? The other is sometimes God tells us, you need to go do this. And you feel like, I can't do that. I don't think that's a good idea, or I feel uncomfortable. And we'll close with one verse. We've got a lot more here, but there's no time right now. So I think we can do it with this point. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. It says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I want to tell you this tonight. Probably the first thing that we need to think about, which most of us have taken care of, is that the Bible says God commands us to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. We're all sinners, and if we have not accepted Jesus Christ to be our God, because He died to pay for our sins, then we're going to die and go to hell. And I'm not saying that with a callous feeling. I love people. I don't want anybody to go to hell, and that's why I'm mentioning it, okay? The Bible says, do that. God told Saul to go do a job, and Saul did not do it. The most important command for us is to believe on Jesus Christ. And one thing that many people feel, how can I trust Jesus Christ? A kind God would not just let people go to hell because they don't choose to believe something or other. Well, it doesn't matter whether we think that God is kind or not for doing that. If it's a fact, then whatever we think doesn't change it. And it's dangerous for us just to say, okay, I don't want to believe that. Okay, so most of us are safe, but just in case anybody isn't. Then it comes down to us who are saved. God told us, go preach the gospel, tell others about Jesus. In the Bible, according to the Bible, we're supposed to warn them. After living in communist China where I can get in trouble for giving out a tract, I feel a lot more courage coming back here. I'm just like you. I feel uncomfortable when I go out and knock a door and what's going to happen when that door opens. We're all human, amen. I'm missionary, but I'm human, amen. But even though we're uncomfortable telling about Jesus, we need to go. The Bible commands us to go. Go ye, Mark 16:15. And then in Ezekiel 33, the watchman said, the watchman is on duty to save the people in the city from being killed. Well, we are the watchman to warn the lost not to go to hell. Amen. And this verse we just read, it said, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Here's the point tonight. If you do something that you're not supposed to do, that's sin. But if you're supposed to do something and you're not doing it, then everything else you do is sin. What I mean is, if you're supposed to believe in Jesus Christ and you haven't, then all the other things you're doing are sin because you're not stopping and doing what God told you to do first. All right, how about this? If you're a Christian and you're not telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ as He leads you to do, then that's sin. Sometimes I am guilty of that, okay? I'm not standing here telling you, I'm good, be like me. I'm saying we have a problem. Even if you go soul winning every week, when you're walking down the street and there's a person there you have a chance to witness to, and the Lord wants you to tell him about him, we're responsible to do that. And if I just walk by that person and say, Lord, I'm not ready, I'm uncomfortable, whatever. Okay, a better example, witness to your neighbor. Oh, I'm uncomfortable witnessing to my neighbor. I'm the same way, okay? I'm not talking down to you. But if I say, oh, Lord, I have to do my homework or something. I have to read my Bible, Lord. No, he said, go witness to your neighbor, not read your Bible. It's disobeying. If I tell my kids, clean up your room, and they go wash their hands, isn't it good for me to wash my hands? No, it's good for you to obey. And that's the point of the sermon tonight, folks. We're 5 minutes over, so I've got to quit. But I just want to tell you this. God said, don't do some things, so we shouldn't do them. If you're impatient and agitated, wait for the Lord. On the other hand, there's things we're supposed to do as Christians. So please, be tuned into the Lord for what He wants you to do. I'm the same as you, okay? We need to be tuned into the Lord and don't just try and do some other good thing for Him when He wants you to do this thing over here. Pay attention to the Lord and do what He wants us to do, amen? That's the message tonight. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you. We learned a few little things about China and some principles in the Word of God, right?